Psalm number 1, beginning at verse 1, this is God's holy word. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Well, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. Beloved, in both the physical and the spiritual world, a drought is a serious situation. A drought, boys and girls, is a time when there is little to no rain and things dry up and wither. A drought is serious because water is essential for life in this world that God has created. Water keeps things fresh and green. Water is needed if there is ever to be a good crop, fruitfulness. The physical world, the world of weather and of plants and of harvests, is the world created by God and is the world intended by Him, when interpreted by Scripture, to be a vivid object lesson of spiritual truth in many ways. God created this world so that He could say to you boys and girls, go to the ant and learn something. That even a tiny ant that God has created can be a teacher of very important spiritual truths for us, because this is God's world. And He made it on purpose. He made it to teach us many things. This past summer was one of the hottest and driest summers in 40 years in the United Kingdom. We attended in July the Irish International Conference in Ireland. Ireland is called the Emerald Isle, the Green Island, because it gets so much rain, there are 50 different colors of green in Ireland. It's such a lush country. Ordinarily, it's usually called the Emerald Isle. But that week in July, it was the Brown Isle. The Brown Island. The ground was hard. The grass crunched as you walked across a field. Ireland was listed as one of the countries, quote, most significantly impacted by drought conditions over the summer months, according to the European Drought Observatory report this year. And what contributed to the seriousness of that situation in Ireland, as I spoke to some of the farmers there, who were wondering if they'd have enough for their cows to eat, enough fodder for their animals, what contributed to the seriousness of the situation was that farmers had no irrigation systems to help in a time of drought. It's not something people thought was really needed. We live in Ireland. We don't need an irrigation system. Drought won't be a problem for us. But it turned out to be a great problem. You know, as people, and even as Christians, when things are going well, we can easily become lax or complacent or careless in our spiritual lives. But then trouble may come, and we can find ourselves without an irrigation system for our souls. But spiritually, it's even more subtle than that, because it may be the situation that we may be doing well in every other area of life. It just doesn't need to be a time of trouble. Times of trouble usually wake us up and show us things more clearly, but it doesn't need to be a time of trouble. Things may be going very well in every other area of life. Things externally can be going really well, and still spiritually we can be very dry. And so this issue of spiritual dryness, which if unchecked leads to spiritual barrenness and a lack of fruitfulness in the Christian life, can happen when times are good or when times are bad. We just usually wake up more when God uses trouble to get our attention. And a spiritual drought should get our attention. It's not a situation we should sit easy with. It's not a good place. It's not even a neutral place to be. It's a bad situation. Don't know exactly how to describe it so that you would be able to discern whether your soul is in a drought condition or not. That may be a very difficult thing to do, but if we think of drought and fruitfulness, it may be helpful just to think in terms of the fruit of the Spirit. Is your life, your relationships, do you see in them the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. If those things aren't evident and growing, if there isn't that fruitfulness in your life, then I think you can trace that backwards. And quite likely, there's a spiritual dryness in your life, right? The fruitfulness depends on the well-watered garden, the well-watered soul. So if we're not seeing the fruitfulness, and none of us sees it perfectly, but if we're really not seeing it, or we're seeing a decline in it, we need to trace that back and ask the question, is it possible that my soul is in drought condition? A drought is a serious thing. Physically, it's even more serious spiritually. Because drought is a picture in Scripture, apart from God's grace, if we just see it as something apart from God's grace, a drought is a picture of God's cursing and judgment. That's how serious a thing it is. In Jeremiah 17, it says this. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. Drought is so serious that it's a picture of God's judgment. But then in Jeremiah 17, the opposite blessing follows those words. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. The blessing of a well-watered life and soul spiritually. That's Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8. But as you hear those words from the prophet Jeremiah, you probably were just saying, wait, that sounds just like Psalm 1 that we read. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It never fails to bear fruit. That's Jeremiah 17. But we read, he is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither, whatever he does prospers. That's the song that goes along with the prophecy of Jeremiah 17. What a blessing, as the psalm begins, blessed is the man. What a blessing to be a person like a tree that always has that access to water so that we yield fruit in season and so that our leaf does not wither. What a blessing. You know, farmers, and I'm not an expert in this by any stretch, but farmers talk about drought-resistant varieties of crops. I think somehow, whatever we think about genetic modification or all those things, there are drought-resistant crops that can just stand up to those dry times better than other varieties. Well, here in Psalm 1, as I thought about, here is a drought-resistant Christian. Here's a drought-resistant person. Whatever may be happening around them, they are like a tree by the water, has access to water so that it doesn't wither and it's fruitful. It's drought resistant. What a blessing to be that way. But how is that possible? What are the practical ways that we as Christians can be drought resistant, more and more drought resistant, and so maintain fruitfulness and usefulness in the kingdom of God? Well, for tonight, though there could be many more, I would think three ways. First, the Word of God, the Word of truth. And we see this in our psalm. Verse 2, the blessed man, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by water. So you see the importance of the Word of God. The law here obviously has a specific reference to the moral law of God summarized in the Ten Commandments, but it's God's Torah, his direction for our life. It's all of the Word of God. And that is what we see is the focus. The Word of truth is spiritual water. It's spiritual water. Moses speaks this way in Deuteronomy 32, verse 2. He says, let my teaching, so the inspired teaching of God, the Word of God, let my teaching fall like rain, and my words descend like dew, like showers on new grass, like abundant rain on tender plants. If you want a well-watered, fruitful soul that's not withering, you need to be under the rain showers of the Word of God. False teachers, false preachers, bad examples in the church. We read about them in Jude. For certain individuals whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are ungodly people who pervert the grace of God into license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. So we read in verse 4, but later in verse 12, among other condemning metaphors, Jude says, they are clouds, what? Without rain. They're clouds without, there's no real water there. There's no watering for a soul without the Word of God, without the gospel. The Psalm 1 person that we see here is well watered. It's a different metaphor. It's not the rain so much as the roots, but it's access to water. The lesson is the same. Access to water. And the Psalm 1 person, the blessed Psalm 1 person, has deep roots into the truth of God. Either way, rain, roots, whatever the metaphor, here's a person whose soul is irrigated by Scripture. Regularly watered, constantly irrigated by Scripture. Isaiah 55, well-known words, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. How can you be a drought-resistant Christian that doesn't wither and bears fruit? You need to be under the word. Privately, your family, publicly, on the Lord's Day. But we always need to add something here that's crucial, because there are people who read and study God's word every day whose hearts are stone and whose souls are utterly barren. The rain is vital, but so is the soil, the heart upon which the rain falls. We read that warning in Hebrews 6, 7, and 8. Land that drinks in the rain often falling on it and that produces a crop useful to those for whom it is farmed receives the blessing of God. But land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless and is in danger of being cursed. In the end, it will be burned. Land that drinks in the rain often. We need to remember that by nature, our hearts are stone. Our hearts are stone, and the word alone cannot bring life or fruit. The word alone, the rain, can't do that. The Bible says we must be born again. We must be born again. God uses his word of truth, but it has to be the word and the spirit, the work of the spirit. I think it was Samuel Rutherford who put it more starkly than many of us would be comfortable with, maybe. He said, if the Spirit isn't at work, we might as well burn our Bibles. God must make our hearts good soil. Then the Word can water. The seed of the gospel sprout and grow and bear fruit 30, 60, or 100-fold. We need to be united to Christ. So important what Jesus says in John 15, I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. We can never think of our life and fruitfulness apart from Christ. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, but you're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You remember what Jesus said to the Pharisees. You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. But these are the scriptures that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. The word is like rain, but it will never be a blessing apart from faith in Jesus Christ. It will never be an ultimate blessing to you, a real spiritual blessing, without union with Christ. That's why it's not just the word of God written that is like rain in Scripture, but it is the word of God, Jesus Christ himself, the Messiah, who's called rain in Scripture. Psalm 72, verse 6 of Messiah, it says, may he be like rain, falling on a mown field, like showers watering the earth. Matthew Henry said, the gospel of Christ distills as the rain, which softens the ground that was hard, moistens that which was dry, and so makes it green and fruitful. It's always the word of Christ and the Christ of the word that have to be together. Have to be together. O. Palmer Robertson, the Old Testament scholar, has written a book recently called The Flow of the Psalms. And he looks at the age-old question, and it's a bit of a tough question. Not too many very satisfactory answers have been given. The question of what is the arrangement of the whole Psalter? There are five books in the Psalter. But within those books, how are the Psalms arranged? Is there a plan and a purpose in the arrangement of the Psalms? Why does one Psalm follow another? Why does this Psalm come before that Psalm? What about this group of Psalms? Sometimes we see it, the Psalms of Ascent. Psalms 120, in 130, those psalms of going up to the temple. But in that book, The Flow of the Psalms, one of his main points is that at three critical places in the Psalter, a Torah psalm or a word psalm is linked with a Messiah psalm. We see it right here at the beginning. Psalm 1 is a Torah psalm. It's about meditating on the Word of God, the blessing of the Word of God. And it's followed immediately by Psalm 2. You remember Psalm 2? That's the Messiah King psalm. Psalm 1 is followed, be in the Word, is followed by Psalm 2, kiss the Son. Blessed are all those who take refuge in Him. The end of Psalm 2 is the bookend for the blessed is the man of Psalm 1, verse 1. Psalm 1, 1, blessed is the man. End of Psalm 2, blessed are all those who take refuge in Him. A Torah psalm and a Messiah psalm. Psalm 18 is a Messiah psalm, and it's followed by Psalm 19 that we often sing, a word psalm or a Torah psalm. And then Psalm 118, that great psalm of the Messiah, is followed by Psalm 119, the Torah psalm. And so at these three great places in the Psalter, we see that a psalm about the Word of God is right there connected with a psalm about the Christ of God, and the importance of faith in the Word as we come to the Word. Jesus said in John 15, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, Christ and the Word of Christ. And if we're in Christ, if we're trusting in Christ, then we come back full circle. Isaiah 44:3, I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. Word, spirit, in union with Christ. That is a drought-resistant Christian. Someone's trusting in Christ as the Spirit of God and who is in the Word. The Word makes a drought-resistant Christian through faith in Christ. But secondly, Psalm 1 also mentions another means of irrigation. The company we keep. The company we keep. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. That's a warning about the company you keep. The wrong company, having your fellowship and your influence by the wrong people around you, will dry out your soul. It will dry out your soul. Have you ever opened up a little package? Maybe it's electronics or some other thing, boys and girls. And somewhere in the box, you find one of those little things. It looks like a little white tea bag. Kind of. Have you ever seen one of those things? Usually says across it, do not eat. Don't eat it. Don't think, well, maybe I can eat it. Don't eat it. It's not good for you. But you know why it's in there? You have ever asked or read it more carefully? It's called a desiccant. It dries things out. It keeps the humidity out of the thing that you've purchased or whatever so that it stays dry and it absorbs the moisture. So that thing makes something else dry. That's a beneficial thing for lots of things. It's a desiccating agent. It sucks the moisture out of its surroundings. That's what happens spiritually if we are walking in the counsel of the wicked, or standing in the way of sinners, or sitting in the seat of mockers. That will desiccate your soul. It will dry out your soul. It will suck the moisture out of your life. Watch your company. And that happens not just with people, though it does happen with people, real people, books, magazines, movies, websites, any and every way other people have a point of contact is a point of influence with you. be very careful. But in verse 5 in Psalm 1, it mentions another kind of company, though again in a negative way. The assembly, or it's contrasted negatively, spoken in terms of the negative, in the assembly of the righteous. There's another kind of company to keep, the assembly of the righteous. And the assembly of the righteous is not exclusively the goal at the end of life, heaven. That will be the assembly of the righteous. It's also a place of blessing all throughout life, the assembly of the righteous. Of course, we're in the world. We come into contact with unbelievers. We work and we play with people who aren't Christians. But our fellowship, our refreshment, our encouragement, our watering comes from fellowship with the faithful. So that we sit in the seat of the faithful. We stand in the way of the saints. We walk in the counsel of the wise. That's irrigating your soul. It will make you more and more drought resistant. And that's one of the special blessings of the Lord's Day. Every Sabbath Lord's Day should be a spiritual watering day. A spiritual watering day. You might have some plants at home and you have a regular pattern and you know what the plants are, and every number of days you say, okay, now I need to water that plant. This is the time. Well, spiritually, God has said one day in seven, especially. Not to the exclusion of the other days of the week in your private family worship, but in a special way, the Sabbath is God's spiritual watering day. Neglect the Sabbath and you'll dry up. Because when you neglect the Sabbath, you neglect the Word. And when you neglect the Sabbath, fellowship is neglected in a significant way, and your soul dries out. And it will get hard and cracked, and the leaves will get withered, and the fruit will shrivel on the vine. I say that by way of encouragement. I'm preaching to the choir on a Sabbath evening with a handful of people. I know that. I hope there'll be lots that will listen, at least listen to the recording of this. But if you know it, you know it's so true. You know that there's nothing that deals with the dryness of your soul better than a well-spent Lord's Day. Coming together with the people of God, praying together, singing together, sitting under the Word together, being in one another's homes. Again, these can be blessings in other days, and they are, but it's a special blessing. The Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. It's the spiritual watering day for your soul. The blessing. It's a bit of a diversion on the Lord's Day. We're talking about the blessing, the watering that comes through association. Proverbs 11:25 says, "Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed." But literally the Hebrew says, "And he who waters will himself be watered." So that's the blessing of fellowship. The watering of association, as we seek to bless others and refresh their souls, lo and behold, we are watered ourselves. Let me add a third, though it's not explicit in Psalm 1, but the third means of being a drought-resistant Christian has to be prayer. It has to be prayer. As an illustration, we think of James 5. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. How much more, if we are praying as we use the means that God has ordained, that we're praying that God would soften and revive our souls and make us fruitful once more. Leonard Ravenhill, well-known preacher of days gone by, once said, "You are just as spiritual as you want to be. You're just as spiritual as you want to be. Have you drifted from God? Return to Him. God says, ask and it will be given to you. Ask and it will be given to you." David wrote Psalm 63. "God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. On my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you and your right hand holds me up." That's a psalm, that's a prayer. He's praying those words. God, you're my God, and I'm seeking you as I'm thirsting. On my bed, I'm remembering you through the watches of the night. He's praying, and he's clinging to God. Well, being a drought-resistant Christian, the word, fellowship, and prayer. Rooted in Christ, we have the blessing of the Spirit. We have the Word. We have the church. We have prayer. In good times or hard times, having those things and pursuing them will make you a drought-resistant, fruitful Christian. We have everything we need for life and godliness. The trees of the Lord are well watered.